Controversy.
I always laugh. I can't fucking do these intros. All right. Hi. Hey, what's up? Fucking Christ. Greta's laughing at me already. This is my fucking worst nightmare. Being a podcast host is a punishment for something I've done in a different life.
I will say it's hard to host a podcast solo.
It's so difficult. So
you riff with yourself.
You should have heard me try to record an intro before this. It was fucking brutal.
What was it?
I was literally trying to intro another episode, and it took me like 4 or 5 tries to just stop being like, it's weird that I'm doing this, huh?
Yeah.
I just had to like record it.
It's weird when it's hard to be a solo host.
Hey, listen, I'm a lone wolf.
I know you are. You're just a lone daddy out there in the world just trying to find a mate.
Yeah, you know that.
It's true.
So this is the intro.
Okay, hi. Yeah, hi.
This is it. We're in the intro. Welcome to TV Casualty. You guys know now I'm a lone daddy out in the world. I'm here with my guest, Greta Teitelman,
a great friend
of mine, comedian, podcast host, dog owner.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. My bitch.
Yep.
It's great. Yeah.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much for being here.
I think I forced you to put me on your podcast.
I don't think so. I think we were texting because we were texting about how I haven't done your podcast yet.
Yes.
And we were texting about something else too. And then I was like, oh yeah, you have to do my podcast. And then you also made me give you $200.
Yeah.
Because you were like, I'm doing your podcast and you're going to give me
$200. And you're going to pay me. Exactly.
Yeah, you're going to pay me $200.
You know what? I wish that you could pay me $200.
I just had to pay $200 to have a locksmith drill the
knob. Oh, yeah. What the fuck was that about?
So I have someone crashing with me. HBO. Crashing on HBO with us.
Who is?
We don't have to talk about another podcast. we can talk about
friend?
It. Yeah, you could say that.
Frenemy. Since I'll talk in a voice that we're about to talk about. Your frenemy.
Yeah, it's a friend. A friend staying with me, and they locked the knob on our apartment door that you're not supposed to lock.
Do any of you guys have keys for it?
Yes. Okay, here's the thing. Greta is a great friend of mine. She's dating my roommate, Will. I've lived with him for 3 years, and I think he's had 19 keys to our apartment. He's lost so many of them.
That does not fucking surprise me.
It's been a while since
he's lost a key.
Because
he basically just lives with me.
I mean, that too. But there was a while when we first started living together that like every other week he'd be like, I don't know where my keys are, man. Are you around? Can you let me in? And then now he's like, I don't know. He's at our apartment once a year.
No.
I think just because our schedules don't have, because he probably gets to my apartment after I'm already gone for work in the morning.
No, I mean, I will say when I'm in town, he probably goes to his place occasionally.
Yeah, he's there every once. And then, you know, when I get in the apartment and he's sleeping on the couch, I give him a little kiss on the head and I touch his little pecker and then we get.
There you go. And you guys love touching each other's dicks.
It's a real sickness that we have.
Yeah,
it's
you guys
like this
can't
weird,
help yourself.
It's like this weird thing that we do where we just like, it's like a competition to see who can grab the other person's dick first.
And you know what? That's very normal and something that I'm happy you guys are exploring with each other. As long as it's consensual,
It's very consensual. We both enjoy it. And also other people hate being around it because we get very aggressive with it sometimes.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think it's absolutely charming.
I feel like you're fucking with me.
I think it's sweet.
I feel like you don't like your adult boyfriend and his roommate grabbing each other's penises in public.
To be honest with you, I would much rather date a guy that likes grabbing his roommate's dick than a guy that's like, don't fucking touch me, man. That's gay.
Yeah, we're always trying to look at and touch each other's penises. We talk about our penises to each other often.
You know, I think it's great. If Will wants to touch a man's penis, I'm very on board.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't stop me from touching a girl's vagina.
I hope not.
No, he never would.
He never would.
You know what?
How many of your friends are you like trying to grab their vaginas and
I've definitely hooked up with some female friends of mine.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that it's like,
as women, I'm not like greeting my girlfriends, like grabbing her vagina.
Oh, no. That's how Will and I say hello
like
to
slapping
each other.
I'm not like going up to
like tweaking a nipple when you see your best friend.
Exactly. I'm not like going up to Blair and like grabbing her tits, you know?
I mean,
I could.
I think it would bring your friendship to the next level.
Why not? I'm going to fucking start.
I think you should start. I'm going to apologize.
Watch out, ladies.
I'm going to apologize to all the female comedians in New York City for how handsy Greta's about to become. It's all going to be my fault. And I'd also like to send apologize to all female comedians, mostly for the way that I am. That sounds wrong. It sounds like I've done something, but I just am.
No, you know what? He's apologizing for not doing anything.
I apologize for not being creepy and sending you messages, or I apologize that producer Leif's gonna have to cut that whole part out of the podcast.
No. do you edit your pod?
I mean, I don't do anything. I let Leif do everything because I am lazy.
Do you chop and screw?
We haven't edited anything. I always say I'm gonna edit stuff, and then I'm gonna keep it all in and see how many people don't like me.
There are some like mixed feelings with chopping and screwing a podcast.
I mean, I don't think I've said anything actually terrible on this podcast yet. I know I will.
For sure.
But I haven't yet.
You think it.
Oh.
Think it, don't stink it.
Oh, I think so many terrible things all the time.
Can we talk about the show I made?
Yes, of course. See, this is the problem with me. I will talk for an hour before we even talk about this thing.
I don't give a shit about honestly, we don't even need to talk about it because I love talking with you and I could talk to you all the time. But I think that this show is like something that we can just really talk about.
Oh God, yeah. I have so many questions.
Yeah. How do you do this? Okay. Do you want to intro the show?
Oh fuck. You know what? I didn't do one of the most integral parts of the show.
Playing the iconic theme song.
No. So Greta and I are going, you can tell by the name of the episode, but Greta and I will be doing Sex and the City, famous HBO.
Darren Star.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was pleasantly
surprised
that it was a half hour show.
Oh, what? That it didn't fill your life with an hour?
It wasn't an hour.
Next thing you know, you're in your room fucking binging season 1 through 6 A and B.
Oh,
okay?
God. A 6 A and B. The fucking Sopranos did that horse shit, too, with like a 4 A and
B. I think, to be honest with you, I think that that's something with HBO. Yeah. I don't know. Because I think I don't know what that is. I think it's something with HBO.
Yeah. Okay. So this is it. Sex and the City premiered January 6th, 1998. Yeah. So did you? Okay. I feel like you were a little too young to watch from the beginning.
I was, but here's what Sex and the City is to me, which I think Sex and the City, that dun 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 dun.
It's like the most.
It reminds me of being in my parents' bedroom, mom watching this show. Like, really, she's watched it from the beginning of time. And I just, whenever I hear that song, it makes me just like so nostalgic and my mom also would like kick me out of the room.
Of course. They like immediately are fucking on this show. Like people are immediately fucking on this show.
My mom like lightly kicked me out. She was like, you can either leave or just like, you know, kind of cover your eyes. And obviously at this point in time, I had already watched Jerry Maguire. So I had seen proper fucking on film.
Yes. The most proper fucking, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, you know, Tom Cruise fucking his girlfriend against a bookshelf where they ate strawberries that they dip into whipped cream after. Like, spare me.
Here's the thing.
As if I'd ever eaten fruit after I've fucked, number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, right. I want to eat a giant sandwich and immediately kill myself. That's how I feel after I have sex.
After I have sex, it's like, fuck, now I need to clean this shit up. I hope I'm not pregnant. Like, all this stuff.
I don't understand how anyone can fuck standing up. It's facing each other. It's an impossibility.
I think that if you're fucking facing each other, you're like the Rock and you're just like holding whoever and just pounding her.
I've done a hold before.
A hold while fuck?
Yeah. Not for long.
You're like, I held her and then she fell.
I mean, here's the thing. I did 2 pull-ups in the year 2009, and I still can't stop talking about them. So, of course, I'm going to talk about this, too.
It's, I've never, like, I don't want to be held like that.
No, I would love to be held.
You'd be love to be held and fucked.
Yeah, if I could somehow, a woman holds me in the air, and I am fucking her.
You know what? I bet we can find someone to make it happen.
Yeah, but then it has
you, you're into the world of wrestling. Isn't there some wrestling chick that can do that
there's,
for you?
There's like 2 right now. Because most...
Who are the 2 you have in mind?
No, okay. I'm just thinking size-wise.
Yeah, size-wise.
There's Nia Jax and Charlotte Flair are like the 2 women that I think
they
could...
They both sound very hot.
Nia Jax is a large Samoan woman related to The Rock. And Charlotte Flair is Ric Flair's daughter, who is crazy hot. She looks like a... She looks like a bleach blonde, like professional volleyball player. She's
Charlotte
like
Fox?
Flair.
Charlotte Flair. Flair.
Yeah. Charlotte Flair looks like she's like 6. She's taller than me for sure. I don't think she definitely
Whoa,
doesn't
Charlotte
weigh.
Charlotte Flair is hot.
Yeah, she doesn't weigh more than me, but I think she's very strong and I think she could hold me. Maybe.
Let me see.
I don't think she could hold me while we have
no,
sex.
No, I think she could definitely hold you.
You think so? She's ripped.
She could definitely hold you, but like I don't think that it would be a pleasurable experience for her.
I don't think so.
Your dick was like as long as your arm, you would have really hard angles.
Yeah, listen. I can trust the podcast world. It is not. I can tell you right now. My dick is not as long as my arm.
But yeah, in Sex and the City, they do start fucking. Very early on.
Oh my God.
They do.
Yeah, no, they fuck so... That's
Tell
my...
me what you thought of the pilot, because okay. Season 1 and Season 2, they break the fourth wall.
I hated that.
You know, there's something very uncomfortable about it, I say.
Truly hated it. Like, the fucking talking directly to the camera thing. I think no one needs that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's like, we understand what's going on in the show already.
Yeah. I mean, I understand, like... I think that the device of it was to be kind of like gossipy, sort of,
yeah.
You know, to kind of create that like we're friends, like you're friends, you
yeah.
know, to create that like intimacy, because I think it is, I don't think it is, it is a really intimate show.
Yeah. I mean, you watch a woman get her pussy eaten while she's standing up. It's a very intimate.
What did you think of all the characters? What did you think? God. Are you hooked?
No. God, not hooked.
Why not?
Did not like.
Okay, let's start with Carrie.
Carrie.
Bradshaw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes.
Yes.
What did you think of her? What did you think of her character?
Fine.
Isn't it fascinating that in the first episode they're smoking cigarettes inside?
It's
crazy.
I mean,
they smoke inside.
They're smoking
inside.
Most of it. Yeah, they're smoking inside of a club called Chaos.
Yeah.
Oh, God. A true place. I've never been to somewhere like that at all in my life.
I mean, it's... You need to also keep in mind that the show is, like, really written by mostly gay men.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I love it and, like, live for it and think it's, like, so amazing. But for half of these experiences, I'm like, I've also never had
anything
happen to
me. Because in my head, I feel like you live this wild, lavish lifestyle also.
I've definitely, like, had, like, lavish experiences.
Yeah.
But I will say, like... The dating that they show on Sex and the City.
That's not the New York City dating that I know.
Me either.
At
so
all.
It's like, and I don't want to say that it's like not realistic.
Yeah.
For like, you know, straight women and straight men to do that. But I do think that like for my gay friends, when I hear about their dating stories,
yeah.
They sound more in line with like Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Because they're just more... It feels like they're more open or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, like at like when I don't remember any of these characters' names. Who's the one with the black hair?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. So she goes home with she goes to like the opera or whatever with that with that rich guy.
Yes.
And then she goes home with them, but isn't gonna fuck him.
Right.
So then she's like, so they make out for a little bit, and then she's like, I'm gonna go. And
she
gets her.
She doesn't fuck him because he doesn't want to be exclusive with her.
I think
is
it was just
right?
like she didn't want to. It was after they had that big argument at the table where her and Carrie were like, oh, I think
like
that
you can't fuck like a man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were like, we think real love and romance exists, and then the other two were like. You gotta fuck like a man does,
right.
Which is like an insane thing.
Miranda and Samantha.
Yeah, they were like, these men are fucking insane people and you have to fuck
well,
like they
they're
do.
Basically, the premise is men don't fuck with emotion and men don't feel anything. And women, we get too emotional.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
So it was like, so she didn't want to, like, do this. Like, she,
Which one?
Miranda?
No, the Charlotte. Didn't want to sleep with the opera guy.
With the opera guy. Just because she was like, I like romance. And like, she didn't want to sleep with him on the first date.
But spare me. What's more romantic than going to the fucking opera?
And then letting this guy rail you out at his amazing apartment. With like 30-foot windows on the fucking New York skyline.
I know. It's crazy.
In front of his like $100,000 painting.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's some, like...
But then he gets her the cab... And then he's like, actually, I'm going to jump in the cab too. And then she's going to go home and then he's going to go to the club because he's like, I have to have sex tonight.
Yeah.
Which is like a crazy.
Like, I got to get this dick wet.
Yeah. Which is, here's the thing. It's a crazy thing for someone like me to think. But then it's also like, I'm not this rich guy where it's like, there are men who act like that.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah.
I know I've gone out with dudes that act like that.
Yeah.
I'm positive that, like, guys that I've gone out with that have been, like, financy douchebags or something like that.
Yeah.
And the date didn't go that well and we, like, parted ways. They 1,000% went out and met up with their friends and, like, fucked some other chick.
Yeah, of course. That's what these fucking animals do.
But I will say there's like something about Sex in the City that it's so like dreamy and it like it has this like lust for New York City that it shows that like that I think that loyal viewers love.
Yeah.
I will say some of the characters can be fully just insane.
I mean, there has to be some of these people in this first episode get kicked to the curb quickly. Like this fucking dork, Skipper?
Yeah, Skipper gets knocked out. Who was Skipper dating? Wasn't Skipper? Skipper was set up with Miranda.
With Miranda.
Right?
And then they're at
that
club.
They liked each other, but they
Yeah, but she thought he was too nice, right. But then they fucked anyway.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so Skipper gets kicked to the curb, and Miranda ends up meeting this guy in season 2.
Yeah.
Actually.
Also, this show, completely cool with spoilers.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah,
you're fine. You want to?
I don't give
happens?
A shit. I'm never gonna watch this show. Probably.
Well, okay. You need to put a big spoiler alert. I mean, as if people don't already know what the fuck happens in the show. There've been two movies that followed it.
Here's
also.
Here's the thing. I'm doing a podcast about some of the world's most popular television shows. If you haven't watched them by now, it's your fault, and that's kind of the premise of the podcast.
It's true.
My fault. I haven't watched these. It's no one else's.
You know what?
So fuck you if you're mad about it.
Maybe.
Give me money. Venmo me. I don't fucking care.
Maybe because, like, I just think too much about this shit. But you know what always annoyed me with Sex and the City specifically, that are portraying such, like, strong characters, making really strong character choices?
Yeah.
I want to know, like, where they came from. You know a little bit about Carrie's background. You know that Carrie's dad walked out on her. And you know that, like, she grew up with her mom. And, like, you know a little bit about Miranda's parents, like, working, being really, like, work.
Okay,
but
yeah.
In terms of like Samantha's background, I find Samantha to be a very interesting character.
And she's the one who's just like, she's like the head of a PR firm.
Yeah, and she just a big like, fucks anyone. She wanted to fuck Mr. Big in the first episode.
Yeah. And he turns her down.
She's like, I have a hookup with cigars. And he's like, I only smoke Cohibas, doll. And she's like, oh. And then she's like puffing on the cigarette. And she's like, you know, I do PR for this club, and I have the key to the private room. Yeah. Want to take a private tour? And then he's like, maybe next time.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay. Also, first of all, any guy that would call me doll or kid, I would never go on a fucking date with.
Yeah.
And I actually find Mr. Big's character to be kind of annoying to me. Like, Mr. Big and Carrie end up together.
Yeah. I know that. There's a few things I know.
They have this long romance and all this stuff. But I think that Mr. Big is like Daddy Warbucks, you know? He's kind of this rich guy that, like, has a facade. Like, he has it together and, like, he's gonna take care of you.
Yeah.
And, like, actually... Oh, God. And Carrie and the pilot knocking on the window. Have you ever been in love?
You know? It was the fucking worst. And then he goes, Abso-fucking-lutely. Yeah, and then the car drives away and it fucking freezes on her like shocked face. I literally was like sitting on my couch just going, no! Mm-hmm. Like I was so mad.
Well, there are just so many, there are so many reasons for me to hate the show.
Yeah.
But I just love it so much.
That's the thing. It's like, I think it's because I have no connection to it. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to overlook these things that I don't like about it.
I just think that it's such an insane world that they've created.
It's a fully... I literally wrote down... okay, so my first notes are, happy it's 30 minutes. And then I wrote, fuck these people. Shoot me with a gun. Who the fuck lives like this? Those are like some of my first notes.
It's weird.
I think I was also very upset... about having, I was like waiting for a locksmith to come to my house to open the door.
You should rewatch.
I chilled out after a minute, but I was watching it. I was sitting in my roommate's room that I could get into, waiting for someone to come unlock the door, watching it on the HBO Go app on my phone, like leaned up against the wall. Yeah.
I think that it's a really important show. I know that, that sounds crazy and some people would be like, what? Why? But I think it was something that really was able to bring to the forefront like a lot of women being sexual.
Yeah, I think that's – yeah. I think I 100% agree with that.
And I think that it really created a type of show that is still – like, Girls is basically...
is hipster sexy.
Is hipster version. I mean, this isn't a new idea.
Yeah. It's Williamsburg Sex in the City.
It's exactly. It's the same thing. It's like, you have Carrie Bradshaw, who's this, like, super narcissistic, like, fucking writer that's like, I just want to feel feelings, but how do I feel feelings? You know, like...
Yeah.
She's just like, constantly just asking these, like... totally insane questions to herself, and she's just on a quest for love. All that she wants is love. That's all she wants. And then you have Samantha, that's like the Jessa of the.
I've also never seen Girls, so
I won't even tell you that.
No, it's fine. I'm sure people that are listening,
you're gonna get someone that's gonna do Girls.
Of course, I am. And I'm gonna be mad at them too.
Also, you should get another person to do Sex in the City too, because I think that it is such an incredible show to talk about.
I'd be all right with doing it again in like
It's such
a while.
An iconic show. It's like someone coming out and doing Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. Which
I
also
that sounds
haven't seen.
Crazy, but like, I don't know. Then you have Samantha. That's just this like fucking power hungry. Like,
yeah.
Not really a sex addict, and you can tell there's a lot of like deep seated emotional issues there. I just want to know more of the psychology behind them all.
Yeah,
which
why are these people like they are, and how they are is bad. These people seem very bad.
Based upon the pilot, you had to identify as a Samantha, Miranda,
God.
Charlotte,
kill
or
myself.
Carrie,
I would
who
kill
would
myself.
You be? Who would you be? Or Skipper?
I'm the Skipper. Fuck no. I mean, I think that they're such cartoons of humans that I feel like you're unable to identify with one of them solely. Who's the slutty one?
Samantha.
Yeah, I'm probably a Samantha.
Yeah, I'm Samantha.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a Samantha.
I feel like I'm a Samantha, but like with a touch of Carrie.
I think you're a Samantha with a touch of Charlotte.
Which Charlotte is the redhead
brunette,
one? The brunette.
Who goes to the opera.
Yeah.
Because I actually, maybe you're a little Carrie too, but Charlotte has this really like, Charlotte's kind of goal is to live this sort of happy, cookie cutter life.
Yeah.
And I think
I don't want that.
No. But I think that she's a super softy and she loves love and like she has a lot of hope. And I think that Pioneer, you know, bad boy of comedy guys, I think that you're actually like a real mushball under there.
Oh, I mean, as soon as the wall comes down.
Yeah. You're a little puddle.
It's with me relationship wise, it's like all or nothing. So it's kind of like all in.
That's Charlotte.
Or not at all. Or it's like I'm all in emotionally or I'm fucking Samantha. Like,
yes,
slutting it up.
But that's Charlotte. Because
does she
actually
it up?
Fucks. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Everyone thinks
I love
that she's some prude, but she lays it down.
I love it. Being a slut rules. It's
Mike,
sick.
Why don't we find you love?
I mean, I literally just got out of a relationship.
Doesn't it make you hopeful, though, Sex in the City, that there's some, that there's no too big for you out there?
These people are horrible people, and none of them deserve happiness.
Doesn't it make you want to go to drag brunch or drag dinner, whatever they're having?
No.
They did really spark the resurgence of the popularity of the Cosmo.
Oh, the drink. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
I didn't. That's all I know it from is
Sex and
because
City.
Of Sex and the City.
Of course.
I mean, I also feel like I don't know many people who drink like funny mixed drinks like that anyway.
It's actually a delicious drink.
Yeah, I know. I just was like, I feel like all of my friends drink like beer or whiskey or like vodka sodas.
But you're friends with me.
I am friends with you.
And I never drink Cosmos, but I will now. I will start.
Yes. Also, can we please go to like a crazy club like this and you drink a Cosmo and...
Yes, but I mean, you know, I'm sorry. This no. Dawned on me.
Please, please.
You know who? Okay, you know that there's a Sex in the City tour that happens.
Yes, our friend Melissa Stokowski runs.
Yes,
yes.
And
shout out to Melissa Stokowski.
Yeah,
very funny
comedian.
I was
talking to her about it because we were talking about, you know, like, what do you need to know? Do you know everything? And Melissa, like, liked Sex in the City, but wasn't like a Sex in the City head.
Yeah,
because you know
there's
what
like
I mean?
Some. Fucking freakers out there.
Oh, well, there are people that are like, season 3, episode 4. This is when Carrie trips and falls. When she, oh, wait. Oh, my mind's all over the place. Can we talk about the fact that when Carrie trips and her bag flies out, are the Durex ribbed, like, flaccid head condoms that Big sees?
He sees some rubbers on the floor. He gives her a little wink. He's like, anytime. I'll have to pick this up anytime.
And that weird wave.
Yeah.
Also, when Samantha refers to him
He's trying to clap with one hand with it almost.
Yeah, he does that wave throughout the whole show.
Maybe he just doesn't know how to wave.
Also, Samantha describes him as a higher and richer next Donald
She's
Trump.
The next Donald Trump.
I know.
I was like, oh, that's not good now.
I know.
Looking
doesn't
back on it now.
Stand up to the test of time.
There's a couple things that don't stand up to the test of time, but it's like, especially calling anyone the next Donald Trump is fully insane now. But it's like, it was fucking 19 years ago. How would they know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
19 years ago, Donald Trump was just some real estate guy in New York City. Like, he wasn't even, Apprentice.
He was just like a daddy's boy.
Yeah, exactly. He was just like a rich, like, New York City socialite.
Real estate guy.
Exactly. He was like, no one knew he would be the monster he is today.
I don't even think he knew. He didn't even think he was going to be the monster.
No, 20 years ago, no. There's no way 20 years ago he thought, I'm going to be the president.
Well, I think that you should keep watching Sex and the City. Low key. I think you should because I think there's something about the show that just like it's so fucking bad but also so good.
I didn't get much of the good and I felt like I only got the bad.
I think that it's good because you're watching it and you're like, "What?"
Yeah,
and then you're like, but then there's like sex. I mean, for me at least, there's like sex and like fashion and outrageous storylines that would just like never really happen.
Do you think this was like a big thing for like, because HBO,
who the fuck is calling you?
No one. I don't get phone calls.
HBO what?
HBO. Okay, so HBO, so 98 it starts, and this is kind of before like the internet boom.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, right, but, like, kind of, like, before, like, in 98, maybe that's kind of start when we got internet in my house, maybe a little bit later.
Well, technology plays a big role on Sex and the City.
So
she's always logging onto that goddamn computer.
Yeah, so they show her typing on, like, some fucking thing.
Yeah.
But do you think this was kind of like a, like, Sex and the City was maybe used as, like, an awakening of some women, maybe, like, in the Midwest or something, like, they were, like, watching the show because they liked it, and it was like, oh, it's a little naughty, too. Like opening up the sexuality of people who had never thought that women could act like this at all.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think that it's an incredibly important show like that.
Yeah.
I think that it's the first show that ever showed women really being in charge of their sexuality like that.
Yeah.
And like the fact that in the first episode, Carrie is carrying around condoms and that they all end up having sex and that Samantha, doesn't she fuck that guy.
She fucks the guy that Charlotte was out with.
Right.
So they go.
Right. They go back to the same place because then he's like, you can't stay here. I have an early morning.
And then she's
right?
like, I got to get up early too.
Yeah. But yeah. I think that it's like an incredibly I think that it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I think it's an incredibly empowering show for the most part because it's like, look at these single independent women that are supposedly in their like 30s, their early 30s, just like living these lives and still being fulfilled by each other, also having sex and just like really taking their sexuality into their own hands.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Miranda's a lawyer. Samantha works in PR. Carrie is like grinding her, you know, writing shit.
Yeah.
And then you have Charlotte, but Charlotte's dreams for herself are really to be like a mom. She really, yeah. really wants to be a mom.
She's like an art dealer or something.
She's an art dealer and yeah. she like works at a gallery and that is her passion. But later on in the show, she really wants to be a mom and like yeah. have a family. And that's validated and great and fine. And I think that all women should want to do whatever the fuck they want to do.
Yeah.
So I think that it's an amazing show for that. And I think for so many women living in not New York City, are you kidding me? If I was living in like bumfuck Iowa and yeah. for some reason I had HBO
yeah.
and I could tune into that shit. Do you know how nice it would be to check out and live in this fantasy world
yeah.
where I was walking around in some like Dolce & Gabbana corset with yeah. like Dior skirt, like Manolo's, like down Crosby Street, going to like Bed the Club and like,
place
you know
I've
what
never
I mean?
And,
like,
yeah.
like getting a ticket for smoking pot on the street and like
yeah.
fucking a model or like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, there has to be so many people who have moved to the city because of Sex in the
a
City.
1,000%.
So many.
1,001%.
Yeah.
I feel like we know people that have probably
oh,
moved
I'm
here
sure.
because of it. But I think that it's one flaw.
I think it has many flaws, but, personally. That's the thing. The thing I think, not to interrupt you, but no. I think that I'm saying that I don't like it, but I think something can be important and bad at the same time.
Of course.
Which I think that this show is important and bad.
I think most things are important and bad.
Yeah, I think most things are bad in general.
Condoms.
Important and bad.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, truly the bane of my existence.
I am. I think that one of the bad things about it, though, is like... And you know what? Maybe it's not bad. Maybe I'm wrong. It sort of shows this idea of like fuck men, but also where's a man?
Yeah.
A man?
But I think that is
kind of
how people are.
Yeah, I mean it. At the end of the day, no one wants to die alone.
Exactly. I think that's the thing. That's like a weird thing where it's like. I wrote down this quote. It was after they're in the club at night, and it was after Carrie hooked up with that guy that she used to hook up with that she saw at the restaurant.
The fake
ass Ethan Hawke looking
dude.
Yes.
Okay.
So that guy with the open shirt.
Yeah.
So basically, she makes him eat her out, and then she's like, "Bye,
yeah.
I gotta go." And I'm like, "Hell yeah, that's a sick ass move."
He's like, "Is
it my turn?" And she's like, "I gotta work. Bye."
Yeah.
And then she bounces. So then she sees him, and he was like, "Finally, you get how the relationship that I want. Like, we can have sex,
and
there's
then
no
there's
emotional,
nothing, right.
yeah." And then it like freeze frames, and then she looks at the camera,
yeah.
and it was like, "What did she say?" She goes, "Do all men want their women promiscuous and emotionally detached?" And I was like, "Yes, bitch, yes."
Well, she asked,
absolutely, but also no.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like yes, but no.
All of these like, questions that she's asking, like the show is ridiculous, but it's also not. Like
yeah.
all of these things are genuine thoughts that
absolutely.
Everyone has in their fucking heads that all of us are too embarrassed to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know,
that's the thing
later on in the season, she's a lot of it is her like at a computer staring at a window being like, and I couldn't help but wonder, were all men created equal or is equality just something that doesn't exist? Like, you know, like
true horseshit.
And she would but these questions are triggering.
Yeah, where it's the thing where that question, it was like when she's like, do all men want their women to be promiscuous and not an emotionally god fucking damn it like an emotionally detached? And it was like, here's the thing, yes, until you meet someone that you want to be with, and then no.
But I think the same goes for women. Like,
if I'm fucking a dude
that like I'm not that into, but I'm like just doing it for sex. Yeah, I don't want to deal with him really liking me
because that means
I need to go through like a breakup with him.
Yeah,
and that's,
exactly.
Like, a pain in my ass. But the here, I just pulled up some famous Sex in the City.
Oh please, this is so great.
Let's see. Life gives you lots of chances to screw up, which means you have just as many chances to get it right.
God. This is like all this. I feel like Sex and the City invented this like horrible,
this is like
non-quote printed on some fucking canvas that you buy at Kohl's.
Oh, shut
and
up.
You hang up in your house.
Listen to this one. Did I ever really love big, or was I addicted to the pain? The exquisite pain of wanting someone so unattainable.
Fuck.
Okay, but that's fucking real.
I know, but it's just like so fucking saccharine and just like.
Look at the picture that it's with.
Oh, God.
Don't act, though, like you haven't felt like this. We've all liked people where I've been like, I don't know if I like this person because I actually like them or if I like them because I know that I can never have them.
Yeah.
All feel that way.
I'm not going to say yes or no.
Yeah, you do.
I refuse. I've never had an emotion in my life. You know that about me. I've never liked anyone and it's gone great for me.
Oh, my God. Okay, you want me to read you one
Please.
More?
Please. Okay, yes. And then I have a fun game. Okay. I think it's a fun game. Or it's a game that I think is fun and no one will like.
I'll like it. Perfect. I'll like it. Okay. When you're young, your whole life is about the pursuit of fun. Then you grow up and you learn to be cautious. You could break a bone or a heart. You look before you leap, and sometimes you don't leap at all because there's not always someone there to catch you. And in life, there's no safety net. When did it stop being fun and start being scary?
I hate that. That's some like Eat, Pray, Love ass bullshit. That's fucking brutal.
I mean, yeah.
That's so bad. That's some shit where you like see that like written on someone's like weird little board in their house where they put all these little quotes and you're like, I have to get out of here. Right now.
I mean, but then you have great quotes like this of Samantha. If you're single, the world is your smorgasbord.
Oh, I mean, Samantha, you Hello. Are right. Hello, Samantha.
All right, tell me the game.
Okay, so my game is everyone always is like, are you a Carrie? Are you a Samantha? Uh-huh. Blah, blah, blah. So let's do a fun game because I was like, in my head while I was watching this, I was like, I literally want everyone on the show to kill themselves. I hate them all so much. Ugh. How is everyone on Sex and the City going to kill themselves?
How would the four main women? Suicide?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a very fun game.
I didn't really put a lot of thought into it, but I think I can.
Now I think it's good. But you need to really hone in too on their characters. I mean, you get a pretty good read of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carrie, my guess.
What is your guess?
Sharpens the heel of a shoe right in the neck.
See, I think Carrie is too, like, self-aware to want to puncture her, like, neck. I think that Carrie would actually, I think that she would actually, like, get in a car, put a fucking brick on that thing, and fling it off a cliff and go into the ocean.
I was thinking maybe, or, like, pills in the tub.
No, because pills in the tub is too much of like a...
Like too poetic?
Yeah, like if there were to be a pills in the tub person, I actually think pills in the tub would be Samantha.
Oh, okay.
Or Samantha would like...
I thought she would maybe choke to death on a cigar.
Well, no, she's not like a cigar smoker. I think that Charlotte would have a very romantic... A very like love torn romance.
Okay.
Like I think that she would die an accidental suicide and like a Romeo Juliet type.
Oh, like she got left. Yeah, okay.
Like I think that you know she was drank the potion and she was supposed to.
Yeah.
You wake up, but then her lover sees that she's dead. He kills himself. Then she does wake up.
Okay.
And then she kills herself.
Okay, that's beautiful.
So that's a real Romeo and Juliet situation, yeah. I think, that happens for her. And Miranda, you know, I think she just drops it in front of a metro, drops in front of the subway, drops it in front of the 6th train.
You say metro like you live in... Oh, wait, that's a DC
that's
thing,
That's a DC
right?
thing.
Okay, no.
I thought I was being, like, French. Be like, oh, the metro.
Yeah. I was going to give you horse shit.
Get on the metro.
Or, like, the she just jumps in front of the tube, and
I don't know
fun.
Why. I usually don't say metro, but that is a DC thing. We call it
okay, that's fine. That's fine, then.
Yeah.
The metro is fine.
It is fucking fine that I call it the metro.
It's not fine. We're going to have to edit this whole...
I'm going
to
go and sit on a guy's face and then leave him because I'm busy.
I mean, I truly would love that type of relationship.
Do you know how many dudes in middle America are like, or not even that, like, it's like down south or wherever the fucking bumfuck are like, not even in bumfuck, in New York probably too, we're like, you got to stop watching Sex in the City. It's turning you into something else. I don't even know.
You are yelling at me to eat your pussy.
Margaret, you are not the person you were when we got married.
Where did all of the material go on your dresses? Mm-hmm. They're all so short now.
They're all so short, you just want to sit on my face. And you don't even cook for me anymore. All that you want to do is make me a cocktail and... smoke cigarettes inside.
Margaret, Cosmos is not dinner.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're doing this offensive Southern.
Because it's fun.
It's fun to do, and it's easy to do. But no, I think there's so many things. There's so many things about this episode that I was just like,
if you haven't offended anyone yet, you will certainly offend them on this episode.
This episode will be the most offensive to so many people. It'll be offensive to Sex and the City fans. People who do not like suicide, people who are mad I say the word bitch too much, which is including me, people from the South, people from the North.
I am a hardcore Sex in the City fan.
Yeah.
Do I recognize its flaws?
Yeah, I think, yes. But I think that's the thing, is that you look at stuff with a critical lens, and there's some people who are just fans.
I'm like, nope, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. They're the people that do the Sex in the City tour, not ironically.
Yeah.
I would do the Sex in the City tour as like a bit. I think it'd be funny to go with. I think if you get a free,
I really want to go. Honestly.
I think if you were like, let's do it, I think I would go with you because it'd be funny.
It would be funny. We'd have a great time. I'd make you drink a Cosmo.
I would never drink a Cosmo. Break edge.
Yeah.
On a Cosmo on the Sex and the City tour.
You better believe it.
Oh, I would chop my straight edge tattoos off of my body.
We'll get them covered with little Cosmos.
Oh, God.
We could get little like cherries put over them.
No, I'm not.
Wow, if you actually did break edge with a Cosmo, I think that'd be the most hardcore fucking thing about you.
No, it would be so stupid.
Oh, it'd be so great.
I mean, honestly, so Grant and I have been friends for a while, and like 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
3 years ago.
We went to that club.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, so Greta is, other than being a very funny comedian, is what I would call a New York City socialite. I would say it.
Oh, even. Socialite, I would not use the word socialite, because there are like the real socialites of the world, and I'm, you know.
But I mean, you literally, like, anytime we go anywhere, Greta will be like, oh, I forgot, it's my friend's restaurant. And I'm like, I fucking don't even know people who own more than one pair of pants. And you know people who own restaurants.
I had a really fun time that night at that club, and even though you said you didn't, I know you did.
Okay, so we go to this club in, like, where is it, like the Meatpacking District?
Oh, unfortunately, it's closed.
It's closed. We went because it was closing.
Yep.
So we go, and it's like me and Greta and her friends that just look like women that get paid to drink tea on Instagram. And it's like crazy. And it's like, so we go and we're like ushered up to the, like, we get to cut the whole line, and we're like ushered up to the stage where the DJ is, and we're like sitting up there, and everyone's having fun, and I'm just like with my arms folded, scowling, just being like, I hate fun. And
you were rapping.
I mean, they played some songs I liked. The guy played a couple songs I liked.
I ripped my jeans dancing.
You
that
ripped
night.
Your jeans dancing. I was just like, it was so weird. And then, like, after I left, Greta was like, you know, my one friend thought you were hot. And I was like, I'm going to kill myself. I think about it once a week still. That woman was so good looking.
I had such a fun time that night.
It was one of those nights where it was like 3 in the morning. And I was just like, it was a thing where it's like, since I don't drink and I don't party, it's like there's like a hard time limit for me.
I hear you.
Where it was like, after a while, I was just like, I have to leave right now.
But that was your Sex in the City moment.
It was literally sitting on a couch watching Finance Bros like pour champagne into women's mouth, and then like, oh no, there was the champagne. There was the dudes on the dance floor were like Finance Bros.
Yeah.
And then there was like
hip
streetwear
kids,
bro assholes who are just the same people in skinny jeans and long t-shirts. They're the same. They have the same fucking
the same MO.
Personality. But they were like pouring champagne into women's mouth, and then you and your friends were just like, no.
Yeah.
They were like trying to like pour shit in your mouth, and I was like, okay,
no.
This is why I love these people.
Fuck no. Also, you really lived a Sex and City night. We were in the West Village earlier in that night, which is very Sex and City. I was drinking rosé. I don't know how you get more obnoxious than that.
That's the new Cosmo.
It is. Rosé. Oh, fuck. Wow. Yes! You should make a shirt. I'm going to make you a shirt that says Rosé is the new Cosmo.
Oh my God, we would make so much money. It's crazy. If we print that in like weird block letters on a white tank top and sell it at Urban Outfitters, we will be millionaires.
Yeah, throw a little TV casualty up here.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm branding it.
That's great. Merch, you really should. I would wear one of those sweatshirts. I would.
Oh my God.
I would. I think that, you know,
that was like the one night where I was like, that felt a little bit similar to what's going on in this show.
I understand how I feel very flattered that you would think that my life would be anything similar.
No, because we hang out enough where I know that this isn't what your life is like all the time.
Of course.
But I think there's moments I feel
I've had definite moments in my life where I've been like, I'm having dinner where, and we're with who, and we're going to what? Like, I've definitely had nights like that. But I think that, I think New York is just a crazy place, and I actually think that, like, it can be crazy, like, Sex in the City, maybe.
But, I mean, there's, like everywhere, if you just live in this city long enough, you start, it's like you become regulars at places, or you just, it's like, it's a thing where it's like, I'm vegan, so I go to
a vegan spots, restaurant,
they know who I am, and then sometimes I get shit for free. Exactly. Because I've been going there for long enough, and I'm friendly enough to the staff, and then it's that. Or it's like bars that we do comedy at, where they just know us, and comedians just get free drinks from the bartenders because we're nice to them, and we're friends with them now.
Yeah.
It's all the same shit, just on like different levels and what you want to do.
You know, it's like I go into a store wanting Manolos, and they just know me there, so they just give me them for free.
Yeah, fuck you.
You know, and it's like, and then I go into, you know, Peter Luger, and I just get a free steak.
Yes,
so,
of course. You just get a free steak.
But
your friend Peter's restaurant.
And that, my friend Peter.
Yeah.
It's like living in any fucking neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, you know the people, you figure it out. But I will say, I go to this one coffee shop. I'm going to this one coffee shop every fucking morning for the last 2 years, and they've only ever given me 2 free coffees. Yeah. And I don't mean to be a bitch, but I go there upwards sometimes of twice in a day.
That's insane.
Yeah. Because baby's got to charge up. You know what I'm saying? Can't let this battery die. And sometimes I even just bring my own cup, and I make them put a little in my cup, and they still have the balls to charge me $2.50. And I'm just like, listen, it's fucking horse shit.
Yeah, charge me 40 cents.
Charge me a dollar. I'll pay you a dollar.
And then I'll tip you a dollar.
Exactly.
I'll tip you $50. I'll tip you $50.
I'll tip you $50.
I'll tip you $50 right now to teach you a lesson.
Just out of principle, bitch.
Motherfucker, exactly. I'll show you who's who. Yeah. I'll tip you $50. And they're like, that's the guy that tipped $50. Yeah. And they're like, he has to have money. He doesn't need this free shit. And I'm like, I need this so bad.
Exactly. Well, you know what it is? It's like validation of, like, you know me.
And yeah.
It's like when you go into a sandwich shop and they're like, oh, you want the regular?
I have that now. Exactly. I have that at a bagel store now.
That's everyone's goal in
life.
It's
so good. So this is the second time it's happened to me. The third time, actually.
But what happens when you don't want it? It's like now you always think you're like stuck.
That's the thing where I have to be like, sometimes I have to be like, no, I want something else. But the thing is that it's like, it's just like a regular bagel store, and they just happen to have tofu cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, oh, you want an everything bagel? You want a whole wheat everything with tofu cream cheese and avocado? But they don't even have to say that. They just go like, regular? And I go, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sometimes I don't want that, but most of the time I do. But there was one spot, there's a deli over by my old apartment in Bushwick that they have, like, it's one of those delis with all, like, the fucking stupid names for sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
And I would go in there because I lived one block north of it, and I worked 2 blocks south of it.
So you were there
there every day almost. And I would always get this sandwich called the Shrek, which is, you know, what am I going to do?
What's in it?
It's tofu, avocado, spinach, and hummus on a roll.
Okay.
It's really good.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. So, but then after a while, I would walk in there and they'd be like, Shrek? And I'm like, please do not call me Shrek. Please stop calling me Shrek in public.
I used to get a sandwich from this deli in D.C. called Wagshawls, and it was turkey sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Boursin, that like spreadable like cheese?
No, of course not. Girl, of course I don't know this thing.
You can get it at Giant or Safeway. Anyway, it's
of course
like
I don't know this French cheese you're talking
spreadable
about.
Spreadable garlicky cheese. Okay. And they would put that on, and then they put it on pumpernickel bread.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
And I forget what it was called, and I always forgot the name. I always forgot the name, and I would always just say to the guy, I want the sandwich that has the turkey and the sprouts. And the
yeah.
Thing. And he would be like, there's a name for it. And I would be like, well, I don't remember the name.
Yeah.
And then every single time he'd be like, oh, the girl who never remembers the name of her favorite sandwich wants it again. Why don't you just look at the board? And I would just, wow. Out of principle, I'd be like, because I'm still getting the same. You know exactly what sandwich
yeah.
I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, you're making this longer
yeah.
by making me read the fucking board.
Exactly.
And I won't read it.
I'm not going to read that goddamn
no.
board.
No, fuck that. I hate that guy so much. Yeah.
Fuck the board.
There's like, this sandwich place has like, it's like, hey, can I get the raging bitch? Can I get the, my girlfriend's a whore? And I'm like.
No, those are so, it's like, why?
Yeah, it's just like, you want to just say, you just want to watch me say this thing.
Yeah, it's like when you, it's like when those shots like buttery nipples.
Yeah.
And like redheaded sluts. Yeah. Like, spare me if I ever hear anyone at a bar
yeah.
ordering a redheaded slut.
And if you no, that's some like Sex in the City type shit where it's like bartenders, any bar I'd go to now, every bartender would be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
They'd be like, do you want whiskey?
Yeah.
Or tequila?
Exactly.
What do you want to take a shot of right now?
It's I mean, the only thing, I guess like Kamikaze is another fucked,
I mean,
like terrible
even...
name. The only shot that's okay is a lemon drop.
I don't even know what that one is.
You'd love it.
I feel like I wouldn't.
I think my 2017 goal is to force you to drink.
It's not going to happen. Why would you do that? That's so many people's thing where they're like, no, you're, but when, I know you're going to drink. And I'm like, what has made you think that I would ever do that? And they're like, I know you will. And when you do, it's gotta be with me. I have to have 400 people come to one bar with me and drink.
To be honest with you, I think that the only way that you would drink
is when I finally get my heart broken again.
No.
One more heartbreak.
No, I actually don't think heartbreaks will make you drink. I think that there are three scenarios under which I think you drink.
I love this.
One, if like your number one wrestling icon who is
I mean the Undertaker probably
yeah. Okay, if the Undertaker was like Mike, how does he talk?
He's supposed to be like a demon from hell, but he's okay. Like a dead guy, so he's like
he was like
rest in peace. It's kind of like that.
He's like Mike. he was like I need you to drink this with me now
yeah.
or else I will die.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely drink.
I don't think I would. I've been at places with like comedy heroes of mine and everyone's drinking.
I ain't talking comedy boo-boo. I'm talking the Undertaker is coming up to you alone
yeah.
saying to you, if you don't drink with me, I'm gonna fucking die.
I mean, it might be his time to go then. I don't know if this... Okay, I want to hear the other scenarios,
okay.
though.
If I offered you $1 million.
Oh, $1 million. I mean...
If you wouldn't take a sip of alcohol...
I mean, probably for $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah, $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, I would do a lot of things for so much less money.
I presented you with a large sum.
If you had a stack, if there was a stack, $1 million in front of me.
What if I had like $1,000 cash?
No, not a thousand.
$10,000.
No.
20.
I think it would literally have to be high six figures.
We're like, talking 500.
We're talking 750.
Whoa, daddy. That 250 jump from 500 to 750. Game changer.
A game changer, right?
It is. I mean, that.
I mean,
it is.
Here's the thing. I have $500,000.
So
I don't want 500. I would like 750,000 on top of my 500,000.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the third scenario would be, Mike, everyone. Actually, no, you definitely wouldn't drink.
What?
I was going to say everyone on planet Earth will die. And I was like, no, you would not drink at all.
Who fucking cares?
I think that you would. Exactly.
We've got a good run.
That's what I said. You wouldn't give a shit. You'd be like, yeah, let him go.
What have they done for me?
What about what would you drink if someone was like, I'll give you whatever TV show you want?
I don't know. I feel like
that's the pressure of being a woman.
I don't know, but I don't think I would. I think it's just like, because it's not like I ever had it. It's like a thing where I don't know. I've just taken like a moral stance against it for so long that I don't think I would.
So our best bet right now is $1 million. I mean, and then yeah, the but Undertaker. It's still
no. I think the Undertaker thing. I would just be like, no.
Like, would you be like, I'll hang out with you till you die?
I'll hang out, dude. I'll hold your hand while you pass on. It's probably a big hand. I want to see how big that hand is.
I want to see your big hand. Where does he live?
Texas.
Oh, in like Dallas or something?
Yeah, I mean, he's built from parts unknown, so you know he could live anywhere he wants. Right, but right. He's like a Texas guy, so I'm sure he has like a ranch somewhere outside of Dallas.
What do you think he's like off hours?
I mean, he's just like a dude who like he likes motorcycles. He likes MMA fighting. He just did a commercial for like it was like a weird commercial for like some like George Strait or like so, you know like some like country artist. Where he's like, I've been listening to George Strait since 1989. He has a wife. He has kids.
Do you think that wrestling is having a resurgence?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's almost as popular now as when it was at its peak in like the late 90s.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I have no idea why. I mean, it's as good as it's been in a long time. But I don't know why. It just has like weird ebbs and flows where it's like very popular and then it's not popular. It's the same thing with comedy. It's like, why is comedy really popular right now? There's no reason. It's been more popular in the last 10 years than it was 10 years before.
I feel like people need more distractions.
Yeah, I just mean, I think it's like, and it's also like, now there's just so many ways to watch stuff, and there's wrestling has been around for forever, and now WWE is like the name in the game.
Right.
So it's like, well, just watch this. It's been on for 25
forever.
Years.
Forever. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I couldn't tell you why it's popular. Cool. I know that I love it.
And it loves you.
Oh, God, it doesn't. It does. It really, but the last couple of weeks I've been watching so much wrestling that I'm like, I need to fucking.
You're burnt out.
I was, because it was WrestleMania a couple of weeks ago and I watched.
Did you go to stuff?
I go to shows. I went like a couple months ago to a couple of shows. But like this year it was like WrestleMania was like literally like the pre-show, which also has matches, started at 5 p.m. and it didn't end until after midnight.
I would like to go to one.
Please come with us. A bunch of us go. A lot of people that you like. I have like a group text of comedians.
I mean, I don't know anything.
You don't have to.
My brother was a huge wrestling fan.
Yeah. I think the thing is that once, I can't believe this, I've turned another podcast about nothing that has to do anything at all with wrestling into a wrestling podcast.
Well, wait, I have a question though. Yeah. Who's the guy that wears a tuxedo, the old from the 80s?
Oh, Ted DiBiase? The Million Dollar Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah. I just played him in a music video recently. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Which was fun. But I think that watching it live, you'll understand it. Like watching it on TV, it's the same thing as like watching a fucking baseball game on TV. You're like, why would I care?
Right.
But like you go to it live and you're like, I'm here with the people that love it.
Right.
I'm here. It's like there's this spot out in Queens that we go to sometimes, like those like small indie shows. And it's awesome. It's like this crazy nightclub that has like a giant stone lion's head above the entrance. It's like crazy looking. And then it's just like 400 insane people screaming at a ring for 2.5 hours.
That's so
And like
funny.
My friends wrestle there. And it's like, we'll go in like groups of like 10 sometimes. And it's like really fun. You get a fucking hot dog and some beers.
Great.
Get some chips. Yell at a little kid that he's standing up too much.
Great.
Tell a little kid that his heckle was good.
Great.
Yeah, you know, show a little fat kid in an Undertaker t-shirt that's yelling at the ring. You're like, hell yeah, you're funny, because you know that that was you. That was you 20 years ago.
You're like, hang in there, pal.
It gets better, I think.
Yeah. You're like, watch the pilot of Sex in the City.
One day, if you like wrestling this much for 20 more years, one day you can become a comedian that upwards of 18 people like to watch do comedy. And then you can start your own podcast and then make it about wrestling, even if it's not.
Make it about wrestling, even if the whole show is supposed to be on Sex in the City.
Yeah, and you barely talk about the show. You talk mostly about, listen, one day you're going to have sex, and it's going to be fine.
Were you scared to have sex?
Yeah. Oh, God, I was really scared. But I was, like, really nervous, and then after I did it, I was literally like, that's it?
Yeah.
It was, like, this huge buildup to something that I was like,
Yeah.
It's fine.
There's a lot of anticipation.
Yeah.
A lot of nerves.
But it was fine. I don't know.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Simply a night.
I was like, it was more of a relief to have lost my virginity than almost anything else.
It's just a check off the old.
No. God. Yeah. As cool as I was then.
Just a chip off the old block.
It was, I lost my virginity, and then legitimately a week later, I dropped out of high school.
You know what? That's called being a big boy.
Yeah, I was like, I figured out what I'm going to be wanted to do for the rest of my life.
How did you, like, go about dropping out of high school?
Well, basically, I just wouldn't go at all. Because it was me and my dad living together for a while. Like, because it was this whole thing where it was, like, my parents got divorced, and then my mom stayed in the house. And then it was me, my mom, and my sister. And then my sister had a kid, and she moved out. So then it was me and my mom for a while. Then my mom couldn't afford our house anymore. So then my mom moved out, and my dad moved back in to the house. So it's like I stayed in the same house the entire time. It was basically just who was living was changing. But my dad worked, because we were out on Long Island. My dad worked in Queens, and he had to be there at 6 in the morning every day.
Right.
So he was gone by like 4:30. At the latest. So there was no one to make me get out of bed and go to school. And then I was home from school before he was home. So even if they called and was like, hey, Mike wasn't in school today, no one was there.
Right, to even answer the phone.
No one, yeah, exactly. Or it was me being like, suckers. And
did
just like hanging out.
Did he figure it out after a while?
Yeah, because then people would call. My mom would like call my school, talk to the guidance counselor every once in a while because she lived in a different town, but it wasn't like
and
I didn't
were
see
they
her.
Upset?
Yeah, they were upset, but then it was kind of like a thing where it was like I like wore them down after a while.
Right.
And then it was finally just like my dad was like, because I was going to have to go back for a fifth year.
Got it.
Because I missed so many days, I wasn't legally allowed to graduate.
Right.
So it wasn't, they couldn't fudge it, and they tried, and they were like, you've just missed so many. And I like, so they were like, you're going to have to come back for a fifth year. And I was like, there's no fucking way I'm going to go back for a fifth year of high school. So then it was like February of my senior year, and my dad just like, my dad and I just went to the school one day, and he signed me out, and then I just didn't go to school anymore. And I just was gone.
What'd you do?
I had to get a job.
Right.
So I got a job at this like screen printing place in my town basically.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like ride my bike there every day, and I would just like go and wash screens and then go back. And then I joined a band. I was supposed to go on tour with my friend's band, but their bass player got scabies. So they kicked him out of the band, basically.
So then you went on tour.
So then I started playing bass for them, and I toured I was in this band for like a year, maybe less than a year, probably like 8 months. And then I quit because they was like, it was a terrible band. But they were all good friends of mine. But I was like a whole, we got into this like big band argument. And I was
we've
like,
talked
I
about
fucking
this,
quit.
But this is also very nice to hear again.
It's
love an origin story.
Yeah. So then I like, you know what? I messed up the timeline. Hmm. I quit school, and then I was just kind of doing nothing. And then I joined the band.
Got it.
And then after I quit that band, I had to get a job.
Right.
Because my dad was like, you can either get a job and like pay rent in the house or go to college. And I was like, well, I can't go to college if I didn't finish high school. So I worked.
Did you get your GED?
No, I've never gotten it.
We
tell people.
We should get it.
Why? Who is gonna not believe me that I graduated high school if I tell
them?
Well,
I think it would be a nice little thing to put under your belt.
I don't think so. We
should try.
I never got my GED. I've never had a driver's license.
Driver's license, I'm like whatever. I just think. Maybe it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean shit, obviously. But I'm saying that, you know, maybe it could be cool. And I'm here to help.
I don't think so. I don't think I'm ever going to do it. I mean, like, literally no one. Nick Turner has a really funny joke about how he just lies about graduating college.
Yeah.
Like, he went to college.
I mean, by the way, I know so many people that went to college and went to, like, parents have spent fucking money sending these kids to college and never graduated.
Yeah. So it's like, I just say I graduated high school. No one, first of all, no job I've ever gotten has ever been like, we need you to be. It's like, I fucking work in kitchens and warehouses and walking dogs and shit like that
also,
my entire
at
life.
At the end of the day, never in my life, having graduated high school and college, has anyone ever called my fucking high school to check if I actually graduated or have asked to see my diploma.
Who just carries around their college diploma with them like some kind of fucking sick freak?
No one, but I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. No one's ever.
I mean, you can have. No, I mean, like, having it in your home is different than being like, here I am at the job interview. Here's my diploma.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's just fine. It's I hopefully will never have to get a job that matters that much again.
Well, I, you know, I don't think you will.
I hope not. But we'll see. I mean, everything could fall apart very quickly, and then I have to go work for the town.
No.
That's like do you have like a thing where you're like, if everything else falls apart, this is what I'll do. Do you have one of those?
Yeah, I have one of those. I'm like, if everything falls apart and, well, hold on, what are we talking? Like everything, like my life falls apart and all of my hopes and dreams have totally crumbled.
Yeah, because for me, okay, I'll tell you what mine is.
Okay.
And then we can see. So it's like, mine is like, so like I'm here living in New York City.
Yeah.
Being a comedian. And I walk dogs on the side. I walk dogs on the front. It's my only income. But so that's my life right now. And it's like, so if I'm pursuing comedy for long enough and then it's like obvious that nothing is going to happen.
Uh-huh.
It's the thing where it's like, I feel like I'll end up moving back to Long Island,
mm-hmm.
living at my mom's house,
mm-hmm.
and being like a garbage man,
mm-hmm.
or a landscaper or mm-hmm. something like that, or like working for the town, like cleaning up the park.
Okay.
And just get like really fat.
No, I was going to say, you get in like really good shape.
No. I would get super fat.
Maybe if you're, actually, garbage men have incredible benefits.
Yeah, but then I would just work there long enough and you just drive the truck and you don't have to do anything else. You get super fat and then I just get like a Jeep and I like take all the doors off it.
And you get those like four lights on that the go top. On top. You only get lifted.
Only wear shorts all year long.
Thick ass tires on that thing with big treads.
And so fat. I just get like horrible like even more horrible tattoos.
You'd
I
have think to that's really go ham on your legs.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, leg tattoos. Full of
tribal shit. On
maybe
my
a whole back piece.
I really want to get my back tattooed so bad.
I think that you get a turtle shell, maybe. You know, I think that that's maybe
the worst
what you do.
Sounding tattoo I could ever think
of.
Just
a nice turtle shell back piece.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that sounds like a great plan.
Yeah. That's my not, because it's like, I don't have, that's not like my back. I don't have like a, I don't have a regular plan, let alone a backup plan.
I guess my backup plan,
Instagram fit model.
You know, there's a few things I have in my little bag of tricks. I guess, like, there's the obvious, you know, find a very old, rich man,
mm-hmm.
get pregnant accidentally.
Yes, of course.
And then wait for him to die.
Yeah.
That's one.
Maybe start, like, shoving the pillow over his face a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's one. Or, oh my God, I watched a Snap the other day where this woman was slowly killing her husband by grinding up glass.
Oh, yes, I've heard about
tiny
this.
Tiny enough that it would just like shred his insides, but like he didn't notice when he was eating. So
you do that to an old man?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Or, you know, or I just really do have like a into the wild moment.
Just go.
And just go. And, like, live in a bus in the forest.
Oh, yes.
Probably, you know, just, like, forage berries
mm-hmm.
and just be very natural.
Yeah. Grow out your pit hair.
Grow out everything. Grow out your leg hair. Grow out all of the hairs.
Yeah.
And just live that natural life. Or I think if we're talking, like, realistically.
Yeah. Because mine seems like a joke, but that's pretty realistic.
You know, unfortunately, plan A sounds like more of a realistic plan for me than plan B.
Yeah.
But other things that I've always wanted to do, this sounds super fucking dumb what I'm about to say.
I can't. I'm so fucking excited to hear this.
I've always wanted to own a flower shop.
That's pretty cool. I was at like this like thrift store the other day, this like secondhand store, and I was there with Diego. Who I'm always with. And I was like, honestly, if I bought a little bit more stuff for like two more years.
Oh, you could open a store.
I could open a store. I have so much shit.
You could, based upon the shit that you have in your room.
Yeah, exactly. And then I have other shit like at my mom's house and at my dad's house.
Yeah,
like in their attics.
You're like a low-key hoarder.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. But it's not, but it's all like.
It's organized.
It's all very organized.
It's all very
but
organized.
It's like the amount of VHS tips I have now is
it's
like.
Crazy.
It's like a little bit of a red flag.
Yeah.
It's like they're like starting to stack up outside of the closet.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a bit much.
Yeah, I have a bunch of shit that I can't get rid of, but that like no one fucking wants.
That's the thing where it's like this stuff isn't valuable enough for me to like really put a lot of work into selling it, but it has this emotional attachment to it, but I know in my head that I have to get rid of some of this shit.
Yeah, you should just do a yard sale.
I mean, I don't want to do that.
I mean, I need to fucking sell some.
My dad was
shit.
Telling I had lunch with my dad the other day for the first time in forever, and he was telling me, he's like, yeah, you have all this stuff in the attic. He's like, you should just bring it all to your house and sell it. And I'm like, All right, I'll get it out of your house. But yeah, fine, I'll go up in the attic, throw out all this fucking guitar amp I've had since I was like 11 or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
This thing, but
I think like having after my mom died and my dad just like left us, and then we had to go through like all of their shit.
Yeah.
I really was like, holy fuck! Like you really do just die and leave everything behind.
Yeah,
it's like
I can't imagine if I die and I think about it, I imagine it very often. Like all the shit that people would have to go through. It's like all my fucking records and books and movies
everything.
And fucking t-shirts,
it's fucking everything.
All this horse shit.
T-shirts, cameras, photos,
all my
zines.
Yeah, God. Like, all my stack of broken cameras in my room that I can't just throw out.
Yeah, you gotta just get rid of that shit.
I know. But I have all those fucking cameras. And then I have like two different stacks of cameras in my room that like some of them work, some of them don't. And I have to fucking figure out which ones. I got a lot of shit I gotta get rid of. I have like bags of t-shirts.
Yeah.
That I'm just like, I'm never gonna wear these.
No, you know what we need to do? You need to let me come over there and I'm just gonna take it all. We can pop it into my car and just drive it to Salvation Army. And then you'll get a nice little form that you can apply to your taxes. Do you pay taxes?
Of course not. I mean, okay, does the IRS listen to podcasts?
No.
Just in case.
The IRS like isn't concerned with people like you.
No, of course
not. The
IRS
is concerned about people that have been like evading taxes for years and years and years and have been like benefiting from it. And then guys that are really fucking rich that they can make an example out
of. Exactly. They're not going to be like, this guy.
They were like, oh, I'm actually, please don't pay taxes.
Yeah, because they're really like, oh, literally every time I do my taxes, I fuck them up so bad. I do my own taxes and they'll like the government will send me a letter like you fucked this up so bad. Here's more money. You did your taxes so bad.
Pay for an accountant.
Yeah. They're like, here's 500. You fucked this up so bad. We're going to give you $500 more, which means I probably missed $2,000 worth of shit.
That's
and I'm
so
just so
funny.
Happy to get an extra $500. So now I'm just like, fuck no.
So you still wouldn't drink for $1 million?
I don't know. $1 million, it's like a thing where it's like maybe, but it's also like, I don't know. $1 million would be.
I know.
$1 million would be so nice though. I mean, it wouldn't give me, like, if I had that $1 million, I wouldn't be having a panic attack paying a fucking locksmith $200 to let me in my apartment.
That's a lot of fucking money.
It was so much. It was so, and he made me go get cash, and I was so, because they're like, we accept everything except American Express and check. And I was like, all right, I got my credit card. Like, I have it's like my fucking, you know, my bank card. And he's like, do you have cash? And I was like, no, what? Who the fuck just has... I'm like, I'm not a fucking rapper. I don't have like 200. I don't have like a fucking stack.
Yeah, I'm
of
not
hundreds.
Like, yeah, I don't have stacks on me.
Yeah. It's like, well, you're looking, everything I own is on the floor in front of you. It's a fucking fanny pack full of my horse shit and a denim jacket I've thrown off trying to break into my own apartment. Like, I don't have 200.
I mean, I know where Will was.
No, it was that none of us have the key for the lock that was locked. Even my landlord didn't. Because I asked. Because it's like, I don't know why. It's like it's like the knob, because we have like the deadbolt on our apartment door
right.
that we can lock.
So then how did that guy lock it?
It was...
You're the friend staying there. How did they get out?
They got out fine, because it was unlocked. And then they just locked the door. They locked like the lock on
the
knob.
Lock on the knob.
On the knob. They locked that, and none of us had the key. Even my landlord didn't. She came up and like was like, she had like 10 keys that she gave to me, and I tried all of them.
Fuck.
Yeah. And actually, I could have gotten into my bedroom because we like live in that railroad thing and got in through Kyle's room. But my fucking giant record shelf is in front of the door in between our rooms. And I couldn't open the door because if I did, it would have knocked over however many thousands of dollars of records I have on that thing. And so it was like in my head, I was like, if I break 10 records while I knock this over, it'll be more money than...
It'd be more money than the $200.
Than the $200 I spent on the locksmith.
And this is why we need to clean.
Oh, I know. I really want to, because I want to paint my... This is a thing we can talk about off air. I don't have to talk about how I want to paint my bedroom. That's not fun for anyone to listen to. So great. So yeah, Sex and the City. I didn't like it. You loved it.
No,
but I do think it's important.
Important show.
I do think it's an important show.
Great show. Love it. I see the flaws in it,
yes.
But I also just fully embrace
that's the thing.
Flaws.
I think that's fine. I think that's the same thing where it's like professional wrestling. I see the flaws in it.
Yeah.
But I love it so much that I don't... Like, this week
it's
on
like
wrestling,
it's like
a guy literally flipped over an ambulance.
Yeah.
Like, that was part of the storyline. A real ambulance, obviously there was, like, hydraulic lifts on it.
Right.
But he, like, flipped it over, and you're just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Exactly.
And you're just like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like anything you love.
Yeah.
You know its flaws, but exactly. You love it anyway.
Just like me.
And Mike sat and thought to himself, would love really come his way?
Yeah.
Or is his way, or is he getting in the way of his love?
I have to stop scream laughing in the microphone. But yeah, that was great. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah,
plug away. That's, you know, how podcasts are.
Oh,
do your
yeah.
plugs.
Well, if you want to listen to me chat with two other ladies, you can listen to my podcast, Lady Lovin, which is on iTunes every Monday.
Yeah, it's great. I listen to it all the time. I think it's awesome. You know, sometimes you're not the guest of it, but that's fine.
And you know what? When you're burned, you're burned. And then, you know, I host a monthly show at the Jane Hotel. If you want to have your Sex in the City moment.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That I have done this show before, and it is fully insane. It's in the bar on the roof of a hotel that's so expensive I didn't know it existed until I went there.
No.
It's so nice. RuPaul hangs out there.
RuPaul used to live there.
RuPaul used to live there.
It's very fun. You should come check it out. It's now it's the third Wednesday of every month.
I seriously had one of my favorite sets I've ever had in that
room.
You had
a great set.
It was so much fun. I wore a white denim jacket.
You were great.
It was great. I tried to I was trying to make out with Greta's sister and it didn't work out for me.
And we should have you back again. You're gonna come back again. You can try it again.
I mean, I said it out loud. I don't think I should do it. it was fun. I was hitting on her friends and I found out they were all married and the other one was her sister. So
why not?
And here's the thing. I've never had a problem hooking up with a married person before.
Yeah.
But that's fine. This shirt is not a plug anymore. but yeah, that's great. And then you can follow me at Mike Abrusi on everything.
You can follow me at Gertie Bird.
Oh yeah. Please. Oh my God. You got to follow Greta's Instagram. It's so much fun. She has my favorite thing on one of my favorite things on Instagram is her. She does a series of selfies where there's people kissing behind her.
Yes, I do.
It makes me fucking laugh so hard
I do.
Every time. She does little characters like I'm your fucking mom. You're doing your little characters.
I do little characters. I have such a blossoming personality. Sometimes I'll post a photo where I look good, where I look funny.
Yeah. Oh, God, kill me. But yeah, Greta's Instagram, at Gertie Bird. It's so great. You can email the show, TV Casualty Podcast at gmail.com. I don't know why you need to email us, but I just decided.
You should email.
Email addresses are free. So if you want to talk more about
it. So why not?
Yeah. So... If you, yeah, that's it. Listen to her podcast. Follow her on Instagram. Go to her show. Give us both money.
Also, rate Mike's podcast.
Yeah.
Give it 5 stars.
Do that. That's so great.
Give it 5 stars and hit the subscribe button.
Yeah. And then send Greta emails to tell her every day how much she needs to send me money. Cool. Thanks for listening. Bye.